Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our El Paso Journal, about a week and a half ago, there was a picture on the front page that is just absolutely perfect for our gospel reading today. And I don't know how many of you saw it or remember it, but it's a picture of a local guy here, or how much you can see it from out there, but a picture of a local guy, Russ Zier, from the Baptist Church here, and standing on the Mount of Olives with the city of Jerusalem panned out behind him. He's going through seminary, I guess, and he had a three-week class over there. And it's just perfect because this is exactly the kind of thing Jesus would have seen in our gospel reading. For Jesus, it was Palm Sunday, 2,000 years ago, on his way into the city, and he stops and he takes a look at this city. You've probably seen pictures of Jerusalem. It's kind of, down and across a valley a little bit, so that when you come over this Mount of Olives, it's just this very picturesque thing. So in the paper here, our local guy, Russ, he's smiling ear to ear because, of course, he's excited. He's a tourist and this is great. He's seeing the holy sites and stuff like this. But Jesus, not so much. When he stood there 2,000 years ago, he was crying. And not just, mind you, shedding a tear or two, okay? In the Greek language, there are several words for crying, and this one means specifically really crying, crying loudly, like picture a 2 or 3 year old crying. Jesus was visibly upset as he looked at the city. Now, this is interesting because you might remember Jesus is usually the guy telling everybody not to cry. There's lots of examples of that. I'll give you a couple. The widow, remember, who had lost her only son, and there's this big funeral procession coming out of the town of Nain, and Jesus stops it. He touches the casket and tells the mom, "Do not cry," and then raises her son to life. Another time, Jairus had come and got him because his 12-year-old daughter was sick. They're on their way to Jairus' house. They get news that the daughter has died. They get there and there's this big weeping and wailing, everybody making a big commotion. And Jesus says again, "Don't cry. She's not dead. She's only sleeping." And they laugh at him, but he goes in and raises her back to life. So that, that's what we're kind of used to. Jesus taking tears away, telling people not to cry, right? Raising people to life. But here is an odd scene. Jesus crying. God crying, and why? Why is he so upset as he looks out over the city? And I'm going to tell you, my main point to get across this morning is that he's crying for only one reason. There's only one reason that would make Jesus cry like this. Now, some of you might be thinking, remember he cried it when Lazarus died, it said Jesus wept, but it's a very different word there. It's not crying like this. Only one thing would make him cry like this, and it's that the people will not believe in him. Now, you might think, well, duh, that sounds pretty simple, but actually, it's a really big point. Okay, a lot of us, I think, kind of intuitively think that Jesus would cry because he's sad about what a mess Jerusalem is, right? Isn't that what we think would make him sad? He's sad because, nobody can get along in Jerusalem. Maybe he's sad because the Pharisees and the Sadducees never get along, right? Or the Judeans and the Galileans and the Samaritans, these guys are always fighting with each other. Maybe he's sad because the Romans are in control of the Holy Land or because Herod is such an evil king. But no, none of that. In other words, Jesus is not just crying because the world is messed up. He knew that already. Of course the world is messed up. That's why he came in the first place, because it is so messed up, and he can easily handle that, and he will. But what makes him cry and weep bitterly as he looks at this city is that the people will not receive the peace that he brings. What makes him so sad is that God has sent his only son into the world to bring peace, and instead, everybody wants to look for peace elsewhere. Now, Jesus explains to them exactly what's going to happen because of this. So you remember, the Romans were in control, and the Jews kept trying to make peace with the Romans. And Jesus basically says, this is how it's going to go for you. As he's crying, he says, "The days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground. you and your children within you. And that's exactly what happened. They did come 40 years later, 70 AD, and they brought their version of peace, which you understand, the Roman version of peace was go in and destroy everything. And that's what they did. They literally surrounded the city and starved everybody out until they finally went in and destroyed the whole place. So Jesus is crying. He's crying not because it's such a mess, but he's crying because they refuse to find true and real peace in Jesus. Now, what about today? Let's say Jesus looks out over the world, 2016. Does he cry? Does he weep? Sometimes I think we'd like to think, oh, Jesus would cry because the world is such a mess today. And we Christians, we're really good at this. We like to sit around and lament, oh man, the world is just such a mess, right? There's so many problems. Is this what makes Jesus weep? Does Jesus weep because, oh, nobody has any morals anymore. Nobody knows wrong or right anymore. Does Jesus weep because of all the gun violence, right? It's just so devastating. Does he weep because nobody shows respect to each other anymore? Or does he weep because of poverty and sickness? Or weep because of corrupt politicians? Does he weep because of wars, terrorism? Does he weep because we can't get along? Well, you already know. I've already told you. No. He knows all of that already. In other words, Jesus does not weep just because the world's going to pot. In fact, the world has already been in a pot since Adam and Eve. Okay? Jesus knows this. There's always been a lack of morality. There's always been sickness. There's always been war. There's always been terrorism. Yes, there has. We may think this is such a new thing, but it's not. There's always been corrupt leaders. But Jesus cries because in the midst of all this mess, people keep going and looking for peace elsewhere instead of finding it in Him. And we're the worst of all of them. Right, we try to justify ourselves and act like we're above the mess. Oh man, the world is such a mess, but not us, right? That's everybody else's fault. We blame everybody else, play the innocent victims. We even blame God for it. God, how could you allow this stuff to happen? How could you allow the world to have so many problems? We forget all His blessings. We're not content. We get angry and bitter. And we look for peace everywhere else. You know, we look for peace in sex and in money and in pleasure. And Jesus cries. He cries because we won't turn to Him and find true peace. I want to remind you of something you know very well, but we sometimes forget, that Jesus has made us a promise that He will clean up this mess. He absolutely will. Okay? Jesus has promised that there will be a day when He will come and clean the world of all its ills. Okay? No one else can do that. Hillary Clinton can't do that, and Donald Trump can't do that. Okay? As much as they will promise us that they are going to make the world a much better place, we all know that no matter who's elected, the world will still be a mess. Okay? Hopefully whoever's elected can do some good things, absolutely, and we care about that, but they're not going to clean up the mess. Jesus will. He has promised. He will come, and He will wipe away all our tears from all the mess of this world, and He will create a new heaven and earth where only righteousness dwells, and you can count on that, okay? You have His word. But at the same time, that's not the peace that He promises right now. The peace that Jesus tells you He's going to give you right now is not taking all the messes and problems away. The peace right now is the peace of His cross, the peace of forgiveness. And you and I have a chance to do what Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, refused to do. We have a chance to turn to Jesus all the time. To cry tears, not because the world is such a mess, but because our hearts are such a mess. And to have Jesus wipe those tears away and tell us everything is forgiven. Peace is not, see, having all our problems go away. It's having Jesus right in the midst of our problems. When Jesus cries in our text today, He says, "Would that you had known on this day the things that make for peace." So let's know those things. Let's know the things that make for peace. For one, things like the forgiveness of our sin. Now that is peace, okay? When Jesus tells you that all of your mess is gone, all of your terrorism, all of your anger and hatred, all of your discontentment, all your lust and greed and jealousy, gone and forgiven. The body and blood that Jesus gives us here at this altar is for your peace. Depart in peace, he says, it is all forgiven. And when you come here, Jesus is not crying. He is rejoicing that you and I are at peace with God again. Let's know what things make for peace. Things like a good conscience. You ever thought about how peaceful it is to have a good conscience, right? Not having the guilt and the shame of our sins always riding around, weighing us down, right? Peace is having a conscience that knows it's not up to us to solve all the problems of the world, okay? We cannot clean up the mess of the world. Jesus gives us this good and free conscience that knows all is right with God already. Okay? It frees us to serve others, not because we just feel guilty, but because we love them. Let's know what things make for peace, things like eternal life. We have something that will never be taken away, no matter how messy the world gets, okay? Eternal life that Jesus has given you cannot be taken away, not by Romans, not by terrorists, not by communists, not by bad leaders, bad politicians, bad pastors, not by poverty or sickness, not by anything. You have Jesus, and that peace will not be taken away. Will you and I today know the things that make for peace? Okay, the sad thing is not that we have so many problems or that the world is such a mess. The sad thing is when we don't turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus and find real peace. In the midst of all the sins and the sorrows, He is our peace, and He gives us things that make for peace. His Word, your baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer, eternal life. No one else can give that. Not men, not militaries, not nations, not money, not leaders, not drugs, not pleasure. None of it can give you the peace that Jesus gives. And He has promised for you and me one day a new city, a heavenly Jerusalem, where peace and righteousness dwells. And He promises to wipe away the tears from all our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.